Hello, I'm Andrea Tabchar, a college public relations professor based in Toronto. My goal for my podcast is to interview PR practitioners with interesting stories to tell, and I wanted to share those with my students. I've decided to call it PR Delivered.
You really have to go out of your way to create content that's different, that isn't the same as the influencer down the street, because unfortunately, not to say that the social media industry is saturated, but there's a lot of influencers out there. So I think it's really important to make sure that your content is top of the line, that it stands out, and that you engage the audience to want to know more about you, or at least like it or leave a comment.
The rise of influencer relations in PR is, by now, a well-documented phenomenon. From celebrities to nano-influencers, public relations practitioners are becoming well-versed in the importance of authentic partnerships with content creators. During the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement impacted the PR industry by raising awareness of the lack of diversity and ushering in a renewed commitment among practitioners to tell a wider range of stories. Given the prominent role of influencers in telling those stories, it has become vitally important to choose influencers with strong followings among underrepresented groups. Kensington Gray is a Toronto-based influencer talent agency that does exactly that. According to their website, they were founded to, quote, give visibility to the spectrum of underrepresented groups with significant cultural capital, end quote. The agency focuses on influencer casting as well as talent, strategy, and campaign management. One of Kensington Gray's recent hires is Jackie Abrauka, a Humber College Bachelor of PR graduate and former student of mine, who is now a talent manager. Jackie offered to share her insights on the importance of diversity in influencer relations, the role of a talent agency in developing influencer partnerships, and securing a job during a pandemic. Welcome, Jackie.
Hi, Andrea. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited to have this chat. You've got so much great experience, and Kensington Gray is a very interesting agency that I know myself and my listeners will be eager to hear about. So my first question, you're a fairly recent BPR, Bachelor of PR grad, graduating just a couple of years ago. And in that time, you've gained solid experience in sales, marketing, and PR, and you successfully secured a couple of jobs during the pandemic. Tell us a bit about your journey from Humber to Kensington Gray and your advice for new grads or anyone really who's looking for work during challenging times.
Yeah, of course. So when I finished my degree at Humber College, I was taking on a lot of short-term contracting jobs. So I worked at a mortgage brokering company, leading their social media. I also worked at LVMH doing some influencer work, but none of that was long-term whatsoever. So eventually the pandemic hit and I found myself unemployed because there just weren't any more contracts going around. And so like most people, I started to panic. I was extremely scared because I had absolutely no idea what I was going to do. And so at the time, I felt like the odds were kind of like stacked up against me because I was newly graduated. I had limited experience. Like I had experience, but to the average, I guess, hiring manager, doing 3 month stints isn't like the best thing in the world. And so I felt like a sitting duck. And so I kind of wallowed in my misery for a little bit, and eventually I decided to make the best of my situation and challenge myself to find a job during the pandemic, or at least the least I was willing to do was build some sort of connections with people within my industry so that whenever the pandemic was finished or was completed, I would have something to kind of leverage off of. And so I got in contact with a few of my professors, you being one of them, and I basically asked, like, hey, could you connect me with some people within your network? Like, I would love to learn more about the industry, or at least have someone point me in the direction I should be going in, because at that moment, I was doing interviews, but I wasn't really seeing anything from them. So I thought to myself, I'm obviously not doing something right. So let me go speak to people who are in these positions I would love to be in, and pick their brains and see like what I can really get from them, or at least learn from them. And so I was doing informational interviews with just various people within Toronto. A lot of the people that I was doing these interviews with were people within organizations that I eventually want to work at, or that I saw myself working at. And I thought it was such a great thing to do, because I was literally able to just pick the brains of these people. I was able to get an understanding of how they came to where they are today. It kind of also like humanized them as well, because in my mind, I thought that I was the only person going through this experience, like, which I was not, because all these students that recently graduated were probably sitting ducks as well. But it was I was able to humanize these individuals and realize that this is just a common issue for newly graduated individuals go through. And so I was able to ask questions, I was able to ask for tips, and more importantly, I was able to ask them if they knew of anybody at the time that were hiring, or at least anybody that I should talk to that could bring value to my experience. And so I was able to go from one connection to another connection to another connection. And eventually, and I didn't realize this at the moment, but eventually I was kind of strengthening my skill of being within an interview setting. And at the time, or previously to that, I didn't necessarily have that. So while doing all of that, I eventually found a job through a connection that I made through you. Mm-hmm. And I basically was a community manager for a agency. I stayed there for about 3 to 4 months. And then I eventually found my way to my current job at Kensington Gray through a previous interview I did like during the beginning of the pandemic. So it was kind of like a full circle moment. And so I guess the last question that you had asked me was, do I have any advice for anyone looking for a job during the pandemic? I would say make the best out of your situation and really just try to connect with people as much as possible. I think the pandemic has taught me that people have way more time than we used to have. So people don't mind sitting on a Zoom call and chatting it up for 30 minutes because they're just a little bit more accessible. So take advantage of that. There's a lot that can be done online, as this last year and a half has proven. So definitely take advantage of that and build as many connections as you can. And you don't necessarily have to limit yourself to just Toronto. Like, you could really make connections with people all around the world. Like, the world's literally your oyster.
Yeah, that's a really great point. I love the fact that, you know, you're highlighting that even during challenging times, right now it's a pandemic, another time there could be a recession, you know, there's always going to be these times, and like really like kind of flexing your networking muscles was brilliant. And also, I love that you mentioned, you know, how you were developing your skill at interviewing. I mean, you weren't a sitting duck, you were active, you were working at getting a job. And that's, you know, such an important thing, that don't sit at home, get out there and develop those skills. And it didn't take you that long actually to get that first job. So
I was actually shocked at how fast it happened, because I'd probably at that point I had done about like maybe 7 to 8 interviews, and eventually just became second nature. I was no longer nervous. And so when that opportunity did come along for me to actually get a job, I aced it. Like, I don't even think I did like a second interview. I think they hired me on the spot. So
there you go. There you go. So excellent, you know, initiative on your part, yes. which is a super lesson for everybody. Kensington Gray is an influencer agency, and it's, you know, performs a very useful function given that there are huge challenges involved in finding appropriate influencers for campaigns. Can you tell us a bit about how the agency aligns influencers with brands and campaigns and organizations?
Yeah, so Kensington Gray, as you mentioned, is an influencer agency based in Toronto, and we specialize in diverse talent. So we currently represent about 20 plus influencers, I want to say, in various spaces. And so we exclusively represent those individuals. And for the most part, we like to categorize those influencers as lifestyle influencers. So when individuals are signing onto our roster, we generally ask for them to have editorial quality content, and they must be like best in class, and they must have like X factor. And by having that, it allows us to, when we're in contact with these brands and they're looking for specific talent, it allows us to be able to pitch our entire roster, because everybody ticks those boxes. Everybody can be a lifestyle person, everybody can be a beauty person, or everybody could be a whatever the criteria is. And so by making sure that all of our influencers meet all these criteria, we're honestly able to cascade our whole entire roster without any problems. One thing that we like to kind of emphasize for all of our influencers is that we really emphasize that you lean into like lifestyle content. When you position yourself in lifestyle, it allows you the space to pivot into other niches without like pigeonholing yourself or without becoming like a one-trick pony. So, and we also like to call those content pillars. So you could be like a fashion girl who likes beauty, but who also loves home decor and cooking. So if a food brand ever came around and was like, hey, I would love to work with you, you could create that content without it looking like left field. And so I feel like that's why we are able to always present our agency partners, our brands, with influencers that align with them, because all of our influencers are very diverse in what they do and their capabilities when partnering with brands and campaigns.
That's a really good explanation and sort of positioning of your influencer partners, because the reality is, and a message that I continually hear with respect to social media and how to be in social media, is to be yourself, to be all aspects of yourself. And so influencers that sort of pigeonhole themselves as, you know, they're just into cycling or they're just into food or whatever, like, they're not. Like, they're human beings that are probably into a whole bunch of different things. And so what you're saying is you're tapping into the whole person and letting them be themselves, which is, I think, very, very wise.
Yes.
Okay, so from your perspective, why do you think diversity is so important in influencer relations?
So diversity is important within the influencer space because, just like television, movies, and various other media forms, it's supposed to represent what the real world looks like. And unfortunately, for quite a bit of time, it hasn't actually been the case. I like to say that influencer marketing is all about relatability and authenticity. And like I said, people want to see people who look like them, whether that be ethnicity, background, social economic, body shape. They want to see people who look like them promoting things that they like. And I feel like as communication professionals, we're all aware of the power of the consumer and how easily swayed their buying decisions can be. So I think when brands show the same image and don't necessarily utilize diverse talent or diverse best practices, I think it's definitely like a missed opportunity to strengthen their messaging, but also reach a larger, more defined audience. And so it's kind of like a double-edged sword. When brands don't implement diverse practices into their strategies, it's not a good look. And I feel like it's also 2021. There's no reason why we should have the same imaging, the same messaging. Like, there's so much going on in the world, and it needs to be front and center. It needs to be talked about more often. And that's why I like being in influencer marketing, because I can challenge those entities and I can bring what I know and hopefully add and see a better future, I guess, in communications.
That's great. And I too see that it's very, very important. And I was just so impressed with the information about this agency. And I was so thrilled to see that you landed somewhere in such a great role, because I know that you had an interest in influencer relations and marketing and that area. So it was just so great that fit happened. So, good for you. Your title is talent manager at Kensington Gray. Can you tell us about your role?
Yeah, so I'm currently a talent manager at Kensington Gray, and essentially my responsibilities are I'm responsible for all of the inbound campaign inquiries and outbound pitching. So when brands reach out to influencers wanting to work with them, I get looped into the correspondence and I basically negotiate the deal. One thing I realized, or we realized as Kensington Gray, is that there is definitely a knowledge gap when it comes to rates in the influencer space. So we make sure that when we go into these deals, we are advocating for our influencers and making sure that they are being properly compensated for their work, while obviously still being like great agency partners with these brands. And so that's what we do. I make sure that we go through the exclusivity to make sure that there aren't any wording that would limit our influencers' ability to work in the future. We make sure that, you know what, these brands are paying for usage rights to these influencers' content, because that's also a really big issue within the influencer space. And more importantly, what we do is we align our influencers with brands that they want to see themselves work with. So if your end goal as an influencer is to work with the top fashion brand in the world, we will make sure that along your journey with us, we will align you with that, or at least provide that building block so that you can get there. And so there's a lot of strategic meetings that go into this. There's a lot of brainstorming that goes into talent management. And that's kind of essentially what we do.
Hey, that's a big job. And, you know, it's a great job and a great role, because so many influencers don't understand the business side of things, right? Like, they know they're content creators and that's their focus. And so I think much like our students who are nervous to network and whatever, I think influencers could be held back from that as well. But when they have somebody like yourself who is an intermediary, that's a really, a huge advantage, I would think, for lots of them.
I agree. And I think that's the benefit of having an agency, is that a lot of the times when I speak to my influencers, when they think about their inbox, it just scares them. They're like, I don't want to deal with my inbox. Like, it's so scary. I just want to be able to be a full-time content creator. And so when you partner with an agency, that's essentially what happens. You are basically not necessarily giving all the admin work, but you're giving a large portion of your business model to individuals who can, you know, execute this seamlessly so that you can focus on being a content creator, and all that energy goes towards, you know what, making authentic content or challenging yourself to try different techniques that are happening on social media. So I think that's the great part about being a talent manager or even signing on with a talent agency, is that you can really just be an influencer.
That's that allows them to be even more creative, I would imagine. You know, it frees them up, as you said. So could you share with us perhaps an example of an effective campaign that you've worked on, you know, a campaign you're proud of, or, you know, that was kind of interesting to you?
Yeah, of course. So I would say the campaign that I'm most proud of, and the reason why I say I'm most proud of it, is because it happened organically. I was in a meeting with one of my influencers and she was ranting and raving about this new car that she just purchased. She said it was like her first, I guess, quote unquote, big girl purchase with her influencer money. And so she was ranting and raving about it. And she was basically like kind of selling me on it. Like, I was honestly ready to go purchase this car. And I basically thought to myself, like, I should probably reach out to this car brand and see if, you know what, they have anything coming down the pipeline, because this would be a great partnership. One, because it's organic, she already purchased a car. Two, she cannot stop talking about it. And three, it aligns with her lifestyle, because she was a mom of two. It aligned with her lifestyle. So it's something that her audience would definitely want to see more of, because she was really able to customize this car to her lifestyle. So I went on my way. I searched like high and low for the contact for this car brand. And I basically pitched her. And I basically told everything I told you, which was, she's a great candidate. She organically has a car ready, and she just would love to talk more about it to her audience through a paid opportunity. And so they got back to me and they were just like, oh, wow, we love her content. This is amazing. We would love to do a long-term partnership with her. And she's currently doing a partnership. The content is amazing. And both the influencer and the brand is happy. And I define this as a successful campaign because it really goes to show you the importance of authenticity, the importance of pitching, which I knew already from my PR experience, but to be able to really exercise that muscle and see it come into fruition is great to see. And once again, it's a true testament to the importance of a strong partnership between influencers and brands. My influencer was able to create content that was true to her lifestyle and true to her audience. And in return, these brands were, or this brand was able to get content that did great in engagement, did great in likes, did great in comments. And that's really what a successful campaign is.
Are there any other elements for a successful campaign? You've listed a whole bunch there. Anything else that from your experience is sort of needed in order for a campaign to work?
I think, and this might just be me personally, I think quality has to be like top of the line. I feel like we're no longer in, 2010 of Instagram anymore. If you are a content creator, I think you need to have, the onus is on you to create top of the line content. And that might come down to just equipment, that might come down to your techniques when editing. I think that's really a selling point when it comes to influencer marketing or having a successful campaign. It visually has to look good. Instagram in itself is it used to be an image first platform. Now it's a video first, but even then, right, that content needs to be top of the line because there is so much content that is on Instagram. I can go from one person's picture to the next in literally less than 1 second. So it really needs to be eye-catching, it needs to be engaging, and it needs to be different, actually. One thing I tell my influencers is that we're no longer in the age where posting a photo with a can in your hand is going to get the likes. Like, you really have to go out of your way to create content that's different, that isn't the same as the influencer down the street, because unfortunately, not to say that the social media industry is saturated, but there's a lot of influencers out there. So I think it's really important to make sure that your content is top of line, that it stands out, and that you engage the audience to want to know more about you, or at least like it or leave a comment.
That's a really good point, that it really, at the end of the day, comes down to the content, because you've got to be doing something exceptional and it has to be unique, because otherwise they'll just use another influencer with more followers or whatever. So that's a really good point. What's your favorite part of the job so far?
My favorite part of the job, I think the answer is kind of like twofold. I would say being able to see things come to fruition. I'm very much a process person. I like to see things from the start to the end, and there's a bit of a satisfying feeling seeing it all kind of wrap up. But I would say the second half of the answer is that I really enjoy working with the people that I currently work with. Weirdly enough, we all only met each other like last week for the first time because we've been in a pandemic.
All right.
We are all just pretty close. Everyone at Kensington Great, including the influencers we work with, are literally family. We spend a lot of time together, and I realize, and this might be credit to you, the importance of, having internal communications and having like a good foundational workplace or workplace environment, and how important company culture is. That's what I love most about my job, is that although I haven't had many jobs in the past, I could honestly say the bar has been set very high in terms of like how my employers treat me, how they listen to us, how they advocate for us, and even down to like the relationship we have with our influencers. Like, the fact that I get to wake up every single day and actually look forward to doing what I'm doing is really kind of like the cherry on top of things for me. So
that's awesome. Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. And, and work should be that. Like, honestly, we spend so much of our lives working that I think it's important. I teach, I love to teach, and I felt the same way for 20 years, and I wish that for you moving forward for your next 20, 30, 40 years to do that. I hope maybe not have to work 40 more years. Any final thoughts, Jackie? Any final thoughts for our listeners about your experiences so far?
Honestly, final thoughts would be put yourself out there. Like, it's scary. I'm not going to lie. When you graduate, you don't know what's up and what's down. But I think taking initiative and putting your own career in your own hands and really taking a chance on yourself is probably the best thing that you can do. And opportunities will come. I think I wish I told this to myself maybe 2 years ago, that your time will come. Like, if you see your friends getting jobs, like, not to be discouraged, because the right opportunity will come for you. As long as you are putting yourself out there, networking, which is very, very important. And you know what, sharpening your skills as a communication professional, you will find your way in this industry.
Yeah. Those are wise words, Jackie. So good. Thank you to Jackie Abrauka for joining us on PR Delivered. And thank you for my PR Delivered logo, which Jackie designed. No problem. So thank you for being here and sharing your insights with us. It was very, very informative.
Thank you for having me, Andrea.
PR Delivered is available on Spotify and Google and Apple Podcasts. You can reach me, Andrea Tavchar, on Twitter and LinkedIn. Thank you to Ryan Garbett for music and production.